Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'll be speaking with a work camper who just wrapped up his second assignment, this one working at a state park in Wisconsin, and he's heading to a new job at the other end of the state. He was celebrating his 67th birthday the day we recorded the interview. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey. It's an online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50 plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, and operating a small business on the road, plus everything you'll need to know about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving you in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started, so for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Richard Ruppel is a former truck driver and HVAC installer from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who just started work camping this summer. He had three back-to-back assignments, and he's really getting the hang of the RV and work camping lifestyle. Before he retired, Richard had a travel partner for some time who enjoyed taking short-term trips with him until she developed a serious illness that pulled her off the road. So Richard talks a bit about adjusting to traveling alone and about taking care of a pet that his friend was no longer able to care for herself. He describes some of his typical daily activities as a campground host, as well as what attracted him to work camping and volunteering at various parks. He describes the rather unique steps he followed to research and apply for specific jobs, and it all comes down to being proactive and going after jobs rather than waiting to see if something opens up. Richard talks about his travel trailer and one of the unique modifications that he made to give him more room in his RV without slides. Even though he's been work camping for just a few months, Richard did a lot of research on the RV and work camping lifestyle before he decided to pursue it. As a result, he has some really good advice for people pertaining to maintaining resumes, honoring commitments, contending with loneliness and pets on the road, and researching the practical aspects of work camping assignments before making commitments. To tell us more about the research he has done, how he found his work camping jobs, and the lessons he has learned so far, please welcome Richard Ruppel to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Richard. I appreciate the time. So I understand you're up in Wisconsin. Whereabouts in Wisconsin are you today?
Yes, I certainly am, Greg. Let me start with this. My name is Richard Ruppel, and I do reside in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where my Sticks and Bricks is located. But given that, to answer your question directly, I am at Blue Mound State Park right off the town of Blue Mounds, Wisconsin. Blue Mounds is about 20 miles west of the state capital, Madison, Wisconsin. And if I'm remembering correct, I do think you are familiar with this state park.
I am. My family and I used to go there all the time. It's got a beautiful hiking trail with a large tower that my kids really enjoyed scrambling up and looking out over the countryside.
I am the campground host here at this state park, Blue Mound State Park, and I am into just completed 3 weeks of the campground host. The state of Wisconsin does these campground hosts on a monthly basis, so every month by the calendar another host comes in. So I'm just finished week number 3, going into week number 4. And incidentally, Greg, it is my birthday today.
Oh, congratulations. So is this your first work camping job at Blue Mounds?
Well, actually, no. When we first talked, I mentioned that I was going to be doing this this volunteer position as campground host, but I managed to, at the beginning of June, get to become a campground host at Hartman Creek State Park near Waupaca, Wisconsin. I'm 67 years old and in preparation for retirement. But one of the things I said, what I'd like to do for many years now, is that I'd like to be a campground host in one of these state parks. So it was last year when I started really asking the campground hosts of the parks that we had gone to. The short answer to how do I get on this is that I had to be proactive. And so asking the coordinator, the volunteer coordinator at Richard Long State Park, when, you know, a year ago, how do I get on board with the program? And, you know, he told me you got to put an application in. And through persistence, I turned my application in January. kind of funny, Greg. Ironically funny. Because I would go by Richard Long State Park twice a week in my line of work. At that time, I was driving big rig, but I would go by Richard Long State Park on the way out and on the way back. So that being said, that right after the new year, right after a huge snowstorm, I dropped my trailer at a nearby school and then took the tractor in to the park. And it's not something you're going to see every day, a big rig tractor going into a state park. But
right.
At that point in time, I had spoke to the campground host coordinator, and, you know, he goes on to say that I don't think I'm going to, but, you know, there are other campgrounds in the area that are looking for hosts. And so, again, being proactive, I finished up this statement by saying, well, I understand that Blue Mountain State Park has got a need for a campground host. He said, if they do, I will submit it. That's all the more I can ask. And I'm thinking to myself, nah, that's not going to happen. No apprentice starts out at such a prime campground as this one. Well, you have to ask yourself, is this, well, something I can live in? And, of course, Blue Mountain State Park with all the trails, hiking trails, bicycle trails, the nearby activities. There's the Cave of the Mountains, which is a huge cave system that's, what, about a mile or two from here, Greg, to the east?
Yes.
So these kind of activities. So, you know, in your off time, you know, you need to be able to keep yourself occupied. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to have this opportunity. Nah, they're going to give it to somebody else. Well, I did hear back from the coordinator here at Blue Mountain State Park, and his name is Brian. Brian goes on to say, please provide us any other work camping experiences that you have had. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that is the end of that. But as I worded my letter to him, I stated, you know, a bit of my background and the like, and included in there that I hope that because I have not been a work camper or volunteer or campground host before, that it does not preclude me from disqualify me from obtaining the position. Well, one of the things with, and of course it didn't, as we know the rest of the story, but see, one of the things with the, when you work on a federal land or a state land or county land, is that you have to go through a background check. That's how it was I ended up with this position. Fast forward, that was about February when this transaction came through to be the campground host here at Blue Mountain State Park. In May, the second week of May. Now, I retired the 29th of April. Well, I'm itching to get out camping, and in the second week of May, I went camping at Richard Long State Park. And again, talking to the campground host there, they go on to say that, yeah, we have a need for somebody for about 2.5 weeks. And, you know, okay, well, fine, I'll get a hold of Richard. His name is Richard Imp. I'll get a hold of Richard, and we'll see where it goes from there. So I get a hold of Richard, and Richard says, well, no, I actually have that position filled, but Hartman Creek State Park is looking for a campground host for the month of June, partial month of June. Are you interested? Well, Greg, considering I have reservations for a campsite there for 13 days, beginning August 21st and ending on September 3rd, that's like a dream come true. Like, yeah, I'm going. So with a week's notice, is all the more I had, with a week's notice, I got to be campground host there for the half a month at Hartman Creek State Park from June 3rd to the 15th. I already had commitments on the 1st and the 2nd of June. The 2nd of June is the travel day. But this is not my first experience. It's now my second one. And enjoying every bit of it, Greg. Absolutely.
Very good. What attracted you to work camping in the first place?
Camping is something I enjoy doing. And again, when you get into retirement, it's like it's just another section of my life where I'm now, fortunately, I'm able to be free of the burdens of having to go to work. Again, being retired, I have income coming in, and that allows the freedom to choose, you know, with what my budget will allow me to do. So, Greg, it's just another extension of what it is that I like to do. I like to camp as much as I can. And at one point in time, I used to throw everything that I could take with me on a motorcycle and head on out to the campground and, you know, spend some time there. Minimalistic camping, but extremely enjoyable way of camping. So camping was not something new to me. It's more a case of, again, how do you want to enjoy your camping experience? So I guess it all came about because of being a host at the at the state park. Well, one thing led to another, and I, you know, in this electronic day and age, the number of things that we click on, the links that we click on, Greg, I can't tell you how I came across the Work Campers organization.
Yep.
And then I start looking at all the listings in here and saying, wow, there is many, many ways in which a person can travel. So it's just what attracted me to it was just again, the sense of adventure. What can I do to visit parts of the country, stay for periods of time? And I guess not necessarily most importantly, but to help defray some of the expenses of doing so. And also by working, you know, it gives you a person, not that I don't have a reason to get up in the morning, but allows me to do something different that I'd like to do. We'd all start out with by attempting to be a campground host and just realizing that there are broader horizons out there.
What type of RV did you decide to buy?
Well, Greg, what I have is a 2019 Coachmen Apex Nano. It is a 187RB, the actual model number, first and foremost, and has no slides. I was not going to go down that road of the potential issues and maintenance problems of a slide. Would I like to have the additional room? Certainly. But that being said, that one of the facets of this Apex Nano is that there is storage galore in here. That, number one. Number two is lightweight. As it rolled off the factory floor, now again, 18 feet, 7 inches, 21 from hitch to bumper, it weighs in at 3,100 pounds, just slightly under 3,100 pounds, again, off the factory. The bed runs from the front of the trailer to the back of the trailer. Well, that's what came in with this. So, you know, I used to walk around bed. But when I was at an RV show, I saw that there was one of the Coachman models that had a jackknife sofa. And what that involved was it's a two-piece mattress that the mattress folds up, and then this jackknife sofa pops back into its jackknife position. And so investigating it, I was able to accessorize and put a jackknife sofa in here, which now adds some greater functionality to the interior of this. That was a nice surprise to be able to do that. But again, it's a very durable trailer and lightweight. It's served me very, very well.
Very good. Now, you travel by yourself. Do you have any pets?
Interesting you should say that, Greg. I had a travel partner up until a few months ago. My travel partner has been a friend of mine for over 20 years, 25 perhaps. Unfortunately, Greg, they are terminal. They have end-stage heart failure. They have inoperable cancer, so I've lost my travel partner.
Oh, that's too bad.
My friend has a dog, in which presently the dog is right beside me here in the camper, sleeping away. Mm-hmm. She is a 3.5-year-old rat terrier. She looks like a chihuahua, and everyone falls in love with that chihuahua. But again, she has a personality of a rat terrier. That is a very interesting experience, having her with me full time. You know, when you're traveling two people with a dog, you know, someone's, if you will, taking control of the dog. Whereas now that I'm in having full responsibility for this animal, I realize I can't quite do all that I would like to do because, well, I've got this responsibility. You know, again, there's pluses and minuses. Yes, it's wonderful that I have this companion here. Otherwise, I'd be here by myself.
Did you have plans to go travel outside of Wisconsin to do any work camping jobs?
all right, one place I want to do is get out west. But, you know, with the recent developments of the way that the BLM is shutting down lands to campers because people do not respect the environment, eventually I will get out west, Greg. But, you know, having a sticks and bricks to have to contend with and, you know, get slowly acquainted with being away from home for any real length of time. And, of course, with what all that encompasses is a... going to be part of the adventure. But initially what I thought I would do would be to stay in the upper Midwest. There is so many beautiful, beautiful things that we have here in the Midwest that, even in Wisconsin alone,
absolutely.
Getting up north, one of the things on my list to do. And, you know, speaking of that and how it ties in with work campers is that earlier this year, I saw a listing for a campground host at one of the BLM lands in the Shawangunk National Forest. It encompasses a very large area. I don't know how many square miles, and there's many campgrounds, but the majority of them are primitive. No electricity, pit toilets, and you go get your water from a well that has a pump handle. So you have to pump your own water. You know, that kind of work camping position, again, was primitive. You have to have solar set up. You got to be able to dump your tanks. You got to get your water in, and you got to sit there all summer long on a volunteer position. Well, it sounds good getting up to the North Woods, but for a first adventure, it's like, I don't need to be that isolated. When I had landed that position for the campground host, what I did was I had removed my resume from visibility from the work camper's website. One of the things I found that a lot of these employers are looking for is a year-round employment a lengthy employment situation. Yes, some of them offer year-round, some want 6 months, some of them are in the the camping season. And, you know, I just was not in that kind of a position this year to consider any of those because I wanted to be a campground host with a state of Wisconsin park system. And that's when I said, well, you know what? How about the month of September? Why don't you just put in your resume there that you're available for the month of September? 2 days later, I get an inquiry from a campground. So that being said, I am going to be a work camper at the Union River Big Bear Campground, which is on the shores of Lake Superior in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
And when will you be starting that?
I'm not going to be able to right now make it there until like the Monday of Labor Day or perhaps that Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the way it is looking right now.
You'll enjoy the fall colors, though.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Greg, let me give you a little background. The campground is 15 miles west of Octonagon, Michigan, and this is on the shores of Lake Superior. They're at the entrance to the Porcupine Mountain State Park. The state park is huge. It's got many trails. It's also a great ski resort area in the wintertime. The campground itself is right on the shores of Lake Superior.
It sounds like an interesting job and responsibility. And you're going to be continuing as a campground host. What are some of the typical jobs that you do as a campground host?
Okay, here at Blue Mountain State Park, one of the things that I have to do here, drop off the firewood money at the office. One of the duties is filling the wood trailer. So out in front of my campsite, the host campsite, we have a trailer which they can purchase firewood. And they have their choice, whether it be a bundle or a rack. It's up to them. The bundle comes from, you know, a wood sourcer. The racked wood, that wood comes from trees that have been harvested here in the park. So I have to make sure that trailer is stocked with wood appropriately. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are the days where, as far as duties go, I need to be as close as possible to the campsite so as to questions come up or issues do come up. One of the issues I had to contend with was a person came up and said, there's someone camping in our camping spot. Really? Okay, well, let's go get this straightened out. So other duties, they want us to set an example, you know, keeping your site tidy and, you know, organized and attractive. Keep the campground presentable by picking up litter and emptying the fire rings, prepping the campsites for the next person to come along. That's not always the easiest thing to do when you have turnover, that people are waiting to get in before the person who's occupying the site has left. So that produces its own challenge to try to get in there, before those exchanges occur. At this particular campground, at the top of the hill, there's that 3-4 football fields, perhaps, of nothing but lawn. But it's a big picnic area, and there's many vistas, easterly, westerly, as well as northerly looking, where they have the picnic grills and picnic sites that I need to keep clean, emptying the grills, the litter patrol, whatnot. And, you know, of course, wind comes along and knocks branches down to the ground, and we need to, you know, keep the ground safe for people to walk on. So I have to pick up some of that stuff. Occasionally, I have to deal with situations that, again, that are brought to my attention. Really, the worst one I've had here so far has just been that case of, well, two of them here. One of them that the camper came up to their site and found someone else was still in the site. The other one that I had to deal with, which is rather interesting, is that the person had thought that they had booked an electric site, but there was an issue with that. And of course, they had a CPAP machine. Fortunately, the office was open. I was able to direct them to the office to get them to help them solve their problem. Yeah, trim foliage as necessary. Do bathroom patrols. You know, pick up litter that might be in the bathrooms. Occasionally deal with a mechanical issue: the shower water is too hot, or perhaps that the shower water is too cold.
If you get into a challenging situation, do you just call the Rangers?
That one again, you have to refer to the office. Some things you cannot do anything about. Infractions, you have to use discretion. For example, last Saturday, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the playoff game. It would have been a win it or go home. And I saw from the reservation list that there was a family that booked like 7 sites consecutive to each other. So when I saw the family name, don't expect it to be too peaceful, you know, because, of course, the families are together having fun. And that being said, so there was last Saturday night, and when the plays were made, you heard all the hurrahs, and when the plays weren't being made, you heard all the aws. It was quite boisterous, but, you know, from that standpoint, it's like, nah, I'll leave this one alone, because they're here to have fun, and mm-hmm. they're doing what they're doing it in the way that they can, and it's not disruptive. But when I heard some fireworks go off on Sunday night, that's when I had to go investigate. And minor stuff, you know, saying, you know, look, there's only supposed to be 2 cars in the campsite, not 3, and, you know, I know you'll do the right thing. And, you know, just soft selling it, soft sell the approach. But overall, there's been very, very few situations that I had to contend with because, you know, for the most part, people are good people and they come out here to enjoy nature and what the state parks have to offer.
Is there any advice you would give to people considering becoming a work camper?
Make sure it's what you want to do because you're making a commitment to people. You're making a commitment to a business. You're making a commitment to the visitors that come in. And the employer expects you to do what they need to have done, provide a good experience for the fellow campers. Yes, and make sure you know what you're getting into. Assignment I'm going to be going to in September at the Union River Big Bear Campground. That campground is the campground itself is not a large campground. It's only like 50 sites. They have power to every site. So, okay, great. And I suppose if you're in a tent in October, it's nice to bring your heater along. But they have the amenities there that as a work camper that, you know, you got ice and, you know, firewood available on site. Unfortunately, they don't have laundry facilities there, but they have some that are close by. Again, so point I'm getting at, you got to investigate what it is that they have that, and can you live with what the situation is that they have. The Porcupine Mountain State Park right nearby, and being that I like to hike and ride the bicycle, it's like, well, hey, great, that's wonderful. Lake Superior might be a little too cold for my swimming knees come September, but hey, you know, you can't have everything. One of the most important things you have to understand about that particular campground is that because of where it is located, services, infrastructure is rugged, for lack of better explanation at the moment. Cell phone service can be spotty, and same thing with Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
They do have Wi-Fi there at the park, but it is known that their Wi-Fi at the campground cell phone service can be spotty depending upon who your provider is. Like, you have to be able to live with that set of circumstances. So do a thorough investigation of the place that you are going to be doing whatever it is for money or for volunteering purposes, that you can do it with what conditions that they have. You know, if you go to Adventureland, you know, you're right there by the interstate. Things at a huge amusement park. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, what do you expect with an amusement park? You're not going to get trees. There'll be other work campers there. You'll be on asphalt. So you won't have to contend with the litter that trees create for your camper as well as for your tow vehicle. And you got to understand that you're in the city and you're working at an amusement park. Is that what you want to do? Whereas, like, say, Union River Big Bear Campground, you're immersed in nature. Many of the reviews of that campground, Union River Big Bear Campground, has stated basically two things. It's nice to hear the lapping of the waves on the Lake Superior shore. And number two, that the owner, Sue, one of the owners there, does a marvelous job of keeping the restrooms clean and sanitary. Almost every review that I had seen in that regard had told me that, again, that's what these campers are noticing, which of course then can be translated into Sue and Norm, the owners, take pride in their campground. And of course, that's what I want to do, is to put my service as someone who's truly loves what it is that they are doing and the service that they are offering. And I can get on board with that. Being retired with a fixed income, I don't have to work. So I'm going to be choosy as to who's going to get my time. They had selected my resume because of my background. As I mentioned, I retired from being a truck driver. But prior to that, I was in the construction trades, HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. I was a serviceman. I was also a steam fitter. Because of that being on my resume, Sue had said, it is your work experience that we are looking for, someone who can do what it is that we have. One of the duties they have there for me, waiting for me, is that I have to split and bundle the firewood. Now, that's not for everybody. And, you know, it's a very important thing. You know, because a campfire, you're not doing it right. If you're making a lousy campfire for people, that's, you know, that's not going to go over too good. So you got to know how to split that wood, split it properly, bundle it properly, and again, help to enhance the camping experience. Hey, I can do that. Ground maintenance, yeah, no problem. I can operate a lawnmower and a weed eater. Yeah, I can do that. Not a problem. They're only looking for 20 hours a week, 5 days a week, which, of course, gives you some time off to be able to explore the surrounding area. But, Greg, you know one of the biggest things I like about where I'm going to? No bathroom cleaning.
So that'll be fun.
Yes. The other advice, and it speaks from the personal experience, that you have to be able to perhaps dealing with the loneliness. It's your attitude. Mm-hmm. It's your attitude that's going to determine what happens in your work camping experience. And, of course, you know, what creates the happiness, you know, of a work camper is just that. It's ultimately your attitude. And that attitude comes across to the people that you're working with as well as your guests. And, you know, you owe it to them to display a good attitude. It's really important for everyone to understand that you have to intelligently select the equipment that fulfills your individual needs. What do you plan to do? How you plan to do it? With the Bureau of Land Management looking for campground hosts at the Shawmagon National Forest, you have to be completely self-contained. Perhaps if you even want to use your air conditioner and microwave, you're going to have an inverter. You're going to have plenty of solar. You know, and that's an expensive price tag. But if you can live like that, can you tolerate the aloneness and the potential loneliness that you're going to have to contend with? And that's not for everybody. Pay attention to what the work campers organization has already laid out for you. You all have done a wonderful job of putting it in print, all the things you need to consider if you're going to do a work camper's job. Make sure you know all that it entails so that you're not disappointing yourself nor the person that you make the commitments to.
Well, this has been excellent advice, Richard. I really appreciate the time. And I wish you the best of luck as you wrap up your assignment there at Blue Mound State Park, one of my favorite parks, and head off to a new state park.
Yes, sir. All things in due time. You know, Greg, I look at a map, of the state of Wisconsin, all the campgrounds, and I say, man, so many campgrounds in such little time.
Exactly.
We'll have to talk in about a year or so so I can update you as to where things have all gone.
Very good. I'd like to thank Richard Ruppel for sharing his experience and research with us. It's obvious he has contemplated the RV and work camping lifestyles for quite some time. He may be a novice work camper, but he already has a good understanding of what it takes to enjoy a successful experience. He told a great story about maintaining an up-to-date resume and ensuring that it is visible on the work camper website. He described getting a phone call from a prospective employer within 2 days of ensuring that his information was available to employers looking for work campers. That was impressive, but it's the type of success people have as members of the work camper organization. I appreciated Richard's advice that when he accepts a job, he is making a commitment not only to the employer, but to all the people the employer hires who depend on work campers to do the jobs they're hired to perform. He said that work campers owe it to their employers and fellow employees to maintain positive, helpful attitudes, and he is right. Richard also encouraged people to really evaluate every aspect of the job before accepting a position. For example, if you're used to being able to go online every day at will, but take a job in a remote area where internet service and cell phone signals are spotty or non-existent, then you're in for a miserable couple of months. Life interfered with Richard and his friend's travel plans to the point she was unable to join him when he finally started work camping. It's a good reminder that we are not guaranteed a tomorrow, so if you've been dreaming of a life of travel, it's best to act on it while you're still young and healthy. The only regret most full-time RVers have is that they should have started earlier. So do whatever you can to make it work for you. Fortunately, you don't have to do it alone. You have an entire organization to help you every step along the way. With its Diamond and Platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and peruse resources compiled by experts who've enjoyed the lifestyle for many years. Most Diamond and Platinum members receive inquiries from their online resumes within a day of being posted. The Work Camper Experiences section has been piling up reviews of employers since 2007. Each archived issue of the Work Camper News magazine lists hundreds of jobs. Hotline jobs are emailed right to you for the states you're most interested in visiting. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. That's all I have for today's show. Next week, I'm going to speak with a woman who has been traveling extensively with her husband, teenage daughter, and rather young daughter, who describes their experiences. There'll be another great interview on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.